Hey, my name is Casey Powell, president of Thompson Associates. Thanks for joining us today as we discuss some more estate planning red flags. If this is new to you, this series on estate planning red flags, we are trying to equip all of us as development officers so we can help our donors and their families avoid unnecessary costs and some delays and stress. We are discussing some specific circumstances where an estate plan may not result in what that person wants or intends. And we hope that after you listen to these podcasts and hear these specific instances and circumstances and red flags, that you're going to be better able to identify some potential problems that could arise with your donors and so that you can help them avoid it. Thompson Associates clients, you can obviously use these red flags to invite your supporters into the planning process. So I'm joined again today by Jason Meredith, good friend. We've been friends for a long time and been lucky enough to work with him. So he's been practicing law since 1998, almost exclusively with estate planning, and he's been a planning attorney for Thompson & Associates since 2002. So Jason, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thanks, Casey, and I'm happy to be on the call with you today.
So we talk about you started practicing law in 1998, which I did as well. It's just for everyone out there, we went to law school together at Texas Tech and both got our MBA at the same time, and so we started practicing law at the same time. And so back in 1998, the estate tax law was very different than what it is now. And Jason and I actually worked at the same law firm in Amarillo, Texas, Burdett Morgan and Thomas. And so Jason, let's start today by talking about what we're talking about today, which is married couples with estates that are under $5 million, but they have tax planning in their estate plan. They've done estate planning in the past, but maybe they don't need that estate planning anymore. So that's the red flag that we're talking about today. So back in 1998, when we were just getting started and doing estate planning for individuals, the tax law was drastically different. So can you just give us a brief history of the estate tax law and you know some of the estate planning techniques we used back then?
I'll be happy to. So first of all, the estate tax law, I like to think of the estate tax law, it's a transfer tax. It's basically a tax on the transfer of assets from one person to another person. Usually that tax occurs at death. And so when someone passes away and assets move and transfer, the government tries to or attempts to tax that transfer. And historically, we have always had an exemption from the estate tax. So you can think of the exemption or the exempt amount, at least, casually referred to as the exemption. If you think of it as the tax-free amount of stuff you can leave to some other, to another person. So the total amount of tax-free assets that you can pass on without paying any tax. That's what we're talking about when we refer to the exempt amount. Now that exemption amount has changed a lot over the years, and as Casey, as you mentioned, in 1998 when we started practicing law, the exempt amount was $650,000. So, and that was per person. So every person could leave up to $650,000 worth of assets to anybody they chose, tax free. However, if they left more than $650,000, they were taxed, the individual would be taxed on anything above that amount at a rate of roughly about 50 to 55%. And that's basically where we were in 1998. And over the
quite
last-
a bit different now. Quite a bit different now. Yeah.
It's quite, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. As today, and it's changed a lot over the last 20 years, we've seen that exemption raise from 650 up to 1 million, 2 million, 3.5 million, so on, and new administrations and new Congress came in over the years and changing all this. And basically, to make a long story short, where we are today, the tax-free amount today is $11,400,000 per person. So everybody gets an $11.4 million exemption quite a bit different than where we were in 1998.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And so the estate tax really goes to the crux of what most people think of estate planning, right? I mean, when we talk about estate planning in general, most people think, well, we're trying to avoid tax. That's the first thing that pops into someone's mind. I always used to talk about what we do with charitable estate planning. And, you know, we talk about charitable estate planning and explaining it to people. And as you're going in talking to someone, and the first thing they think of is avoiding estate tax. And that is really important to a lot of people. And I said, yeah, I can show someone how to avoid estate tax in the first 10 seconds of our meeting. And then the rest, the other 59 minutes and 50 seconds of that hour, we can talk about their values and objectives. And so anyway, you know, when we're talking about estate planning, that's only about estate tax. And now you're telling us that the exemption amount that an individual can leave over $11 million without any estate tax. Most people think, well, I don't need any estate planning anymore. So that's a huge difference in amounts. So back in 1998 and through the years, you know, can you explain, Jason, some of the estate planning techniques that people use, that estate planning attorneys use, and individuals have and they've gotten their plans?
Yes, and there's a lot of different techniques over the years to help either reduce estate taxes or eliminate estate taxes. But the one we're really focusing on today, on today's call, is how does a married couple, or how should a married couple, plan their estates to potentially avoid or eliminate estate tax? And, you know, back, Casey, you know, you mentioned back when we first started practicing law in 1998, the exempt amount was $650,000. Well, it quickly went to $1 million. And basically, we had the $1 million exemption for a lot of years. And even in some years where it was growing to 2.5 and 3, the law was always scheduled to revert back to $1 million. So for a very long period of time, the $1 million exemption is what everyone really kind of became accustomed to. So I want to give you a quick scenario. Let's say we have a husband and wife. And let's assume the husband and wife have a $2 million estate. And we know that each of them can leave $1 million tax-free and not be to anybody they choose to. So it seems logical that a couple with $2 million, each with $1 million exemption, should be able to pass that $2 million on to their children, so let's say, tax-free. But what a lot of married couples found themselves in, and it was a catch. So here's what was happening. Let's say husband passed away first, and he wants to leave assets to his wife. So the husband leaves his $1 million to the wife. Well, there's no taxes on that $1 million transfer because of something called a marital deduction, but there's no tax on that transfer from husband to wife. But the problem is now that the entire $2 million after husband has died, the entire $2 million is all stacked in the wife's estate. Well, now the wife is worth $2 million. She passes away, leaves all of the $2 million to the children, and now she can only leave $1 million tax-free, but now she's worth $2 million. So now the couple with the $2 million estate, when they're trying to leave things to each other and then onto the kids, they're exposing $1 million to a 50% tax. And it doesn't make sense because they should be able to leave the $2 million to the kids tax-free because they each have $1 million exemption. That's what should happen. So along the way, creative attorneys came up with an idea, and they used something called a bypass trust. And here's how this works. When husband passes away, he doesn't leave his $1 million directly to his wife. Instead, he leaves his $1 million into an entity, a trust, for the benefit of his wife. Well, with that transfer from the husband to the bypass trust, that uses the husband's tax-free amount. So now, wife is surviving. Wife has $1 million of her own and $1 million in the bypass trust. And on the wife's death, she's only leaving $1 million to her children. And that way, that's how we were able to pass $2 million on to the children, estate tax-free, and use both of their exemptions while still providing for each other. So that was what we were doing back in, you know, in the early 2000s. And it's actually gone back a lot farther than that, but that's very common planning that's been around for a long time for a married couple.
Yeah, and as Jerry Morgan used to say, you've got one ticket. You use it or lose it. When you pass away, if you don't use it, either give it to individuals or put it in this trust, you lose it. So and so you use it by putting it in this trust for the benefit of your spouse, and then you can utilize both tickets. So that's
That's right.
I'll always remember that. But
That's
well,
right.
so talk a little bit, Jason, about the actual language that funded the trust, because I think that's kind of what we're that's the crux of this red flag is this that the people who had this estate planning, they did good. They went and got estate planning in the past. They got documents, and they had a taxable estate, and so they got this bypassed trust funding language in their estate plan. But and so maybe talk about that language and why that could be a problem now.
Yeah, so here's the issue now. So now this married couple, let's take the same couple, the $2 million estate. They had a great plan implemented 10 years ago, like we talked about, that has this bypass trust sitting inside of it. And so now we know that the exemptions today aren't $1 million per person, it's $11 million per person. So with an $11 million exemption, the husband in our situation who died first could leave things directly to his spouse. The husband can leave things to the wife. The wife would be worth $2 million, but she now has an $11 million exemption. So now what it boils down to is that this married couple with a $2 million estate does not need this bypass plan in their estate planning documents in their wills. We don't need that anymore. But it's still there. And this is what we're finding. I see this, time after time after time, clients come in and I meet with clients and they have this old bypass planning in their plan, and now they don't need it because the exemption amounts are so high they don't need it. But that kind of begs the next question. Well, if they don't need it, is it causing any problems to keep it in there? Is it should we just leave it there, or do we need to take it out? And it more most of the time we need to really consider taking it out. Because if we leave it in there's a different type of tax problem that can occur. So here's what would happen. Let's take our same example, husband and wife, $2 million estate. Husband dies, his million goes into a bypass trust. Now we know we don't need that today, but let's assume it never got changed and his million goes into the bypass. Now let's take another scenario here, another assumption at least. Let's assume the wife lives for another 10 years or 15 years. Well, the wife has some assets in her own name and some assets in the bypass trust. And over this 15-year period of time that the wife survived the husband, all of these assets have appreciated. The assets in the wife's name have grown in value, and the assets in the bypass trust have grown in value. And now the wife dies 15 years later. Now we're concerned about capital gains tax. So any assets that the children inherit from the wife, the children receive a stepped-up income tax basis in those assets. Meaning the children, any gain the wife had in assets in her own name, all that gain gets wiped out, and the children have no capital gains tax liability on those assets. But that's not the case with the bypass. The assets that the children receive from the bypass trust, they do not get a stepped up income tax basis in those assets. Their basis is going to be the assets that the fair market value of those assets at the time the husband died. So it's almost now, if we leave that bypass planning in there, yes, we still have no estate tax, but that bypass trust could likely now cause the children a capital gains tax down the road. So what we're seeing, and what the summary of this is, really, really good planning done as recently as 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, could be bad planning today just because of the way Congress has changed the laws.
Right, again, it goes to that. Do you need that bypass trust? Sometimes it's okay. It may be okay, and it's not the end of the world if there is the bypass trust in there. and how it gets funded. And there's, I remember as we were going from 1 million to 3.5 million, and people that were kind of in that gray area, do they need it, do they not need it? And so there's some really creative funding language that attorneys came up with on, do we fund it? How much do we fund it with? Do we give everything to the surviving spouse and then let them disclaim into this trust the amount that they want? So there's a lot of different ways that these bypass trusts are created. And I think the bottom line is it just needs to be looked at. Is that still the right thing to do? There may be some reasons to go ahead and put assets in a bypass trust for the benefit of the spouse, and not give it outright to the surviving spouse. But the tax is not one reason anymore. I guess that's what people just don't maybe not realize that it's not avoiding tax anymore. So
that's a good point. And, yeah. and let me tag on to that too, Casey, and just reiterate something you just said, that it's not that we're saying you don't need a bypass trust. You may or you may not, and I wish it was that simple.
Right.
I think what Congress tried to do is simplify the law, and what they did is created so many different opportunities and different ideas and options that now it's not black and white. It used to be a lot easier. Now there's it's just really you have to sit down with a qualified estate planning attorney and say what's right for us and our assets and our family, and what do we need to do, and decide how to approach this, because there is no black and white answer to this issue.
Yeah, that's right. And so kind of coming full circle, as we're representing nonprofit organizations and talking to supporters, I there are a lot of people in this boat that have this good planning that was done several years ago that may not be effective anymore or may not be the right thing anymore. And so this is something where we can really help our supporters avoid some stress in their family and some really upset heirs down the road by addressing these issues now. And, if we can identify those issues, this red flag, and encourage our donors and our supporters to go get their plan looked at again and relooked at. And Thompson and Associates clients, this is as our nonprofit representatives are talking to their supporters and getting them into the planning process, one of the big objections is always, oh, I've got my plan, I don't need it. I don't need it anymore. I don't need to do any more planning. I've got a really good estate plan. Well, this is just a really good thing to be listening for and to bring up. Say, well, a good plan 7 years ago, a really good plan 7 years ago, may not be a very good plan now, and it could actually cause some harm. You may be exposed to a lot more tax because of that really good plan from 7 years ago. And so maybe you should get in and talk to our Thompson and Associates representative. So this is a really, really important red flag for us to be aware of and to really avoid this problem, because you're right, Congress, they've done a really good job of increasing that estate tax exemption amount, and a lot fewer people are exposed to that estate tax. But there is in this transition period over these next several years, there may be some people that get caught in really good planning in the past that actually have to pay more tax. So, good discussion, Jason. It's good for us to be aware of and to keep our eyes open for this.
I appreciate it. It was enjoyed being here today.
All right. Thank you.